As the band is seated, I want to mention I'm aware of other pastoral concerns that we didn't pray about that some of you may not be aware of members of our church who go through tests and let us know at the office and ask us to pray for them. We've had a member to fall at home and need help. Darrow and Linda Diamond have now moved, longtime members of our church, back to Ohio, having been here many, many years. And I'm aware this afternoon of Jeff Davis, who's being installed as pastor of First Presbyterian Church of Safety Harbor. I think that, is that 3 o'clock, Michael? Yes. 3 o'clock. And there's a reception there. So a lot is happening in our world. A lot is happening in our church. I'm aware, as you are, just in looking at the date today on the bulletin of 9/11 and the 21st anniversary of it, as well as the changes taking place in the British monarchy. And so all of that leads us to this series we're looking at, Dealing with Change. And the second sermon in this series is entitled, 12 Conversions Are Too Few. There are two readings this morning, the first from the book of Genesis, and then looking in the New Testament at the letter of Hebrews. I'm going to read these sections, but I want to encourage you, these are passages that need to be read in context and also need to be read in their fullness. These are wonderful stories. They're bedrock stories in the Old Testament, and they're very important, and so we're just reading a portion of each one. The first is the call of Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." What a promise. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that he had gathered and the persons whom he had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. And then the second scripture reading is about the change that comes in the life of Moses as told by the writer of the letter of Hebrews, perhaps Paul. In the 11th chapter, we read these few verses. "By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith he left Egypt unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel." Let us pray this morning as we come to the message. Oh, open us, eternal God. Open us to your word read and proclaimed. Help us not to turn from your truth or avoid and distract ourselves from your message. Help us, please, to be receptive to the wisdom that you have to offer to us, the wisdom of the ages. In Christ's name, amen. Well, today is the second sermon on this theme of dealing with change. We affirmed last week that we generally, I don't at least, we generally do not like lots of change, and we have been through a lot of change, and we affirmed that last week. It can be intimidating. Too much change can be difficult. It can be threatening. And we've experienced that as a church over the last couple of years, and we acknowledged that last Sunday. Change is often a time of uncertainty. when things can be unpredictable, and they have been. I was sharing this point with my younger brother, Danny, who lives in Tennessee. I've told about him often, and he reminded me of a bad riddle, and I'm going to share it with you this morning, so please forgive me. It's the riddle about how many Presbyterians it takes to change a light bulb. And he brought this up to me, and I said, well, how many, Danny? I've not heard that before. And he said, well, the answer is none, because Presbyterians will say, when you ask that question, change? What's change? The one I had heard before also has the answer of none. It takes no Presbyterians to change a light bulb. And the reason is because Presbyterians believe that the lights go on and off at predestined times. I don't know which one of those you like the best, perhaps neither. Well, we also reflected last week on Labor Day weekend upon the changes in the workforce that have taken place not only in America but in our world. The great resignation, all the re's, the rewriting of job descriptions, the reimagining of work, and how it takes place at home or remotely or now going back to the office. All the changes as well we talked about, the changes we've experienced during the coronavirus pandemic. And we confirmed last week together that in a dynamic world of change that we live in, the thing that we need the most is that sense and a relationship with that which is eternal, the one who is eternal. We need a North Star to guide us, we mentioned. We need the light of Jesus Christ. And we affirm that our God is a solid rock. God is our refuge and strength. That was what we talked about last Sunday. And all of this reminded me this week with the death of Queen Elizabeth. It reminded me of what someone said about her and how she will be remembered. They said she would be remembered for her constancy. Her constancy, I like that. I think it speaks of what we were talking about in the nature of God, God's constancy among us. It was also said of her that she was the rock of the people of Great Britain and many people in the world that leaned on her for over 70 years of her reign. She's a person, it's been told, that put herself second and will undoubtedly be recorded as one of the greatest celebrations of her life soon in her funeral. Well, in a world of change, to continue, in a world of change, we need our eternal God, who is our rock and our light and our constant companion with us. And today we turn to another issue about change. It really is turning to a question, and the question is, can you and I change? Is it important that we do that? I think it is. It seems like we come to God often bringing the same issues, the same sins, if you will, before God, week after week, year after year. We go through a new year and make resolutions, and how often do we keep them? It's difficult to keep resolutions. It's difficult to keep commitments and to make change, to develop new habits. There's a very cynical proverb. I almost didn't use this, but it puts it straight out there. It's the proverb, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. And the point, of course, is that we get set in our ways and resist learning anything which is new or being open to the new that comes. What do you think? Are you ready for the new that's coming in the world, that's coming into your life? Can you change? Can you be better? Can you break the habits of the past and develop new habits? Can you garner a new vision for the world in which we are to live in and the way we practice our faith? It's important that we do. We have all heard the saying, you can't change human nature. And yet, think about it with me this morning. All education, all counseling, our Christian faith, all of this is grounded in the belief that human nature can grow and mature and be changed for the better. We can be different. We can go in a different direction than the one we are headed. If it's not a good direction, we can change. We can be radically new even, and many people know that. Many people have experienced that, and I'll come to how they've done that at the end of this sermon. Garrison Keillor, I listened to him for years. He's a great storyteller. I have a lot of his material, a lot of his old cassette tapes and DVDs to listen to his stories. He has very dry humor. How many of you listened to him before in the car, on the radio, or yeah, you know about him, Garrison Keillor. He tells the story about a man named Larry Sorensen. Larry apparently was back home to Lake Wobegon for the holidays, and Keillor tells the story in his dry sense of humor this way. He said he had been saved 12 times in the Lutheran Church, an all-time record, said Keillor. Between 1953 and 1961, he threw himself weeping and contrite on God's throne of grace on 12 separate occasions. And this was a Lutheran church, a Lutheran church that wasn't even evangelical. And there was no altar call in the church, no singing of "Just As I Am" for an hour. This was not a bunch of hillbillies. These are Scandinavian Lutherans, and they repent in the same way, says Keillor, as they sin, discreetly, tastefully, at the proper time, and afterwards they bring Jell-O salad to celebrate. He says Larry Sorensen came forward weeping buckets and crumpled to his knees at the communion rail. And to the amazement of the minister, who knew he had delivered a dry sermon that day, now had to put his arm around this limp, soggy individual and pray with him. 12 times, says Keillor, 12 conversions is just too many. I want to argue with Garrison Keillor today because I think 12 conversions often can be too few. My message is that 12 are too few. That's the problem with Larry Sorensen. It's the problem with too many of us. We do it too few a time. Oftentimes we haven't been turned around enough. We haven't been changed enough or rearranged or challenged or transformed often enough. And it doesn't have to be in some particular way or some particular place. But we could be, we even should be, I would argue, we should always be growing and never, ever be stagnant or become stagnant. Another way to say that is don't let anyone bully you into thinking that you are stuck just like you are and that you can never change. You can. You can change. Don't let anyone bully you into thinking that you are all you ever are going to be. You're not. You can be more. You can be different. Don't let anyone lead you to believe that you can be satisfied just with the status quo. The status quo, hear me well, is just not good enough for a person following Jesus Christ. It's not. Think of Abram. Abram was 75 years of age, 75. And he responded to the call of God to leave all that which was familiar to him and journey to the unfamiliar, to listen to the very call of God. It's a great story of how he journeyed to a land that God would promise him and that God would bless him among all people. It's a bedrock story. Think of the story of Moses. Moses came to a fork in the road in his life. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that Moses gave up earthly wealth to gain a heavenly kingdom. Another way to say that is the decision to follow Jesus Christ in your faith is never, ever a cheap one or an easy one. If it were difficult, everyone would be doing it, and it's not easy. Moses' decision, can you imagine with me this morning? It would have broken the heart of ones who loved him and saw him raised as Pharaoh's son, including the woman who chose to raise him as her son. There are stands that we will be called to make as individual Christians and as a church that oftentimes will not be popular. There's a cost, you see. And so what do we say then in the face of dealing with the changes that come to us in life? Will we change or not? Is it important to change? Well, let me say these few things. First, if there were no change, life would be boring. It would be. Imagine everything being the same, every person being like Gary Granada. Can you imagine that? I knew it. I was waiting on that. But imagine that, everyone like Chris Kirvin or Gary Granada or whoever you put the name in, no ideas to learn. That wouldn't be heaven, would it? It might be something else. I remember Norman Vincent Peale. I was raised reading many of his books. And he wrote once that the only place that has people with complete peace of mind who will no longer change are those resting in a cemetery. Adventure, you see, vitality, these lead to change. Variety adds spice to life. And Jesus, coming into life in the Jewish faith in the first century, he was a breath of fresh air. And he offered the promise that the cemetery wasn't all that there would be. Jesus comes into your life and mine today. And when he does, be assured, he lays upon your heart and mind a new adventure, a new way of living. He will challenge you. He will challenge you to the glory of God. I pray he challenges you. And if you follow him, I can promise you, your life will never be boring. It'll never be boring. Well, secondly, note too that if there were no change, there would be no growth. No change, no growth. It's true of you as a person this morning. Every once in a while, I hear a mother say about their five-year-old son or daughter when they were that age, I wish I could have kept them that way forever, they say. And when I hear that, I think, well, that wouldn't be cute. That wouldn't be nice. That would actually be monstrous, right? To have a child who never grows beyond 5 years of age, never matures. That would be wrong. Ouch. To never grow up. I want to say this categorically this morning. I know of no church that is vibrant and growing, which is simply in a maintenance mode. We must move forward, and we will in this church to the glory of God. All churches must as they come out of the pandemic. Keeping everything the same in maintenance mode or trying to go back exactly the way things were once before, that just simply, I can assure you, it will not happen. Change has come into all of our lives. I like the story of Charlotte. The spider in the story Charlotte's Web. It's a wonderful book. And that spider weaves a number of messages, four messages in fact. Three of them are words that should describe you and me and this church. Terrific, radiant, humble. And we should hope that she spells in her web one more word about us. And that word is improved. Improved. I pray we are improved every day. Ask yourself, is your understanding of your Christian faith, is it any different than it was 10 years ago? Is it any different than it was 20 years ago? If it isn't, then perhaps you haven't been thinking or growing in your understanding of the challenging teachings of Jesus Christ. It requires change. Think of all the Christian experiences that we promote here, even in this place, in this hour of worship. I'm thinking of transforming moments, things that change us, stages we go through, the act of confession, the act of prayer. It's to change us, not just to change God's thinking, but to change us. I think of lifting up baptism, confirmation, conversion, ordination, Christian marriage, the promise of the resurrection in a memorial service, rededicating your life to Christ on Dedication Sunday. That's the second Sunday in November when we dedicate our pledges to the new year. Rededicating your life on Christmas Eve, or rededicating your life on any Sunday. It can happen, and it should happen. If there is a guest here this morning, joining the church in membership is an important act of change and transformation to support the local church. And with all of this said, I really haven't gone into detail this morning about sacrificial giving and the number of ways you can do that here, or the number of ways you can be involved in music or mission or the life of this church in some way in education. There are many, many ways. Note with me that we are, in fact, here to be all hands on board, all hands in Christ as followers in His church. We are to be all in about growth and change as individuals in our faith and as a church. I can say it no clearly than that. Well, we've come some distance in the course of this message this morning, and as we gather today, today is an important day. It's the 21st anniversary of September the 11th. And it's important to note that events that take place in the world, they can change our life. And 9/11 did just that for many people. Many lives were changed that day in one way or another. There are many people who are alive who witnessed the horror and destruction that took place when those planes crashed in various places. Roxanne Finio, our director of preschool, her husband Michael, he was around the 30th floor of one of the Twin Towers and was able to get out before they collapsed. And out of that, they moved to Florida, thank God, and we have her as a director. And Michael is just a delight. He's speaking this morning in a local park about his experience on 9/11. Events can change our life. There are a number of days that may have come up in your life that changed you forever. I want to encourage you this afternoon to talk to your family about one of those events or more that changed your life forever. Why not share them? I know people who have been at a church camp, around a campfire, holding up a burning candle, who have given their life to Jesus Christ and kept that commitment. I know some people here who pledged their life to Christ at a Billy Graham crusade. Praise God for such a moment. You or someone else you love, you can be in a hospital, and suddenly you realize that life is more important, the life that you love that's laying before you, than anything else in the world. Even a long look at the setting sun, it can grasp you. It can get your attention. It can cause you to ponder, to turn your life around. I hope it does. And as I close this morning, I want to call on you to always remember and to always live, you see, in the expectation that you can change at whatever age. It's never too late to become more and more like Christ. If you feel that your faith has become stuffy, if you feel it's become restrictive or restricting you in some way, let the winds of Christ flow into your life. And let the peace and love of Christ dwell within you. Claim that. Claim it in the next few moments as we sing this next song and pray. Let us pray. O Lord, remind us that 12 conversions can be too few. Remind us throughout the Scriptures how You called people of faith again and again, men and women, to change their lives and to go into a different direction, to leave all that was familiar and journey into the unknown. And remind us as we do just that, that You call us to be children of love, and You are our constant companion in that journey. In Christ our Lord, we affirm that this day.
Amen.